You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
And before we start, I'm not even talking into the microphone. I'm so excited. Before we start, I've got to play this again. I know the quality's terrible, but I've got to play this again. And there we are. We're going to Wembley. It's official.
Yes, it certainly is. And you wouldn't have thought it after Wednesday, that's for sure. And the first leg away at Halifax, but a really close, nervous game. My emotions have been through everything in these past couple of days, and the boys certainly have come up trumps today, I have to say, and I don't really know what to say, really. I'm actually half speechless for once. Yes,
I was saying to Jamie before the show, because this is Steve's going to phone in later on to chat about Cambridge City and their unfortunate loss against St Albans, but other than that, of course, this is the only football that's been on, and I was trying to work out which would be worse for the show: if we lose, have we got a show? If we win, have we got a show? And I think either way, it wasn't really going to make a lot of difference. We're going to struggle to. Well, actually, we may not in the end. We've got a lot to talk about.
We have.
A lot of post-match interviews. We'll be covering the Mission 676 update as well. So, but yeah, I mean, the weather was fantastic.
284 something.
Did you catch how many away fans there were?
No, I didn't. They must have brought a good sort of 500, 600.
So. But stunning. It was the home ends were sold out. I think Dave was expecting a little bit more from Halifax in terms of what they were going to bring down. But it was still, I mean, they three quarters filled the south stand. And they had a few people on the terraces at the south end as well. So, fantastic game. I mean, obviously we win, which takes us into the playoff finals. But for me, and I think for most people there, the style of the win, the means of the win, it still wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But it kind of inspired more confidence than we've seen over recent. I mean, recent weeks. I mean, we scored, which is
as I say, I mean, obviously we'll talk about Wednesday as well. In more detail, but you know, you came off Wednesday, as we all did. You know, I think me, you, and Lynchy, we were all there Wednesday, and you look at that game, and in all honesty, you thought we haven't got a chance. You know, we really didn't look like that we were ever going to go to Wembley. You know, we were sort of lacking in sort of creativity, and I think we only created two decent chances over that 90 minutes Wednesday. And, you know, yeah, Sam Smith coming in. Yeah, both went over the top. Both were wasteful chances. And, you know, it really was negative, you know, after Wednesday. And I've never seen... I mean, there were 600 used fans. There was probably, there was probably a good 40 on our coach, wasn't there, Wednesday? Yeah. And the atmosphere was completely and utterly flat. And poor old Grandad Dave had to go around and talk to most of these people. And I think he got a lot of negative comments back at him, which is understandable. But
isn't it? You know, Dave's always the optimistic. He doesn't want people to see the negative. But, you know, as he points out, that's football. Fans will be negative. And I think, you know, the biggest concern that most people have wasn't, you know, it wasn't even the fact that we'd lost 1-0. It was actually that we had, you know, we had no real scoring opportunities apart from those two. We didn't look very creative. We didn't look like we were going to score.
Yeah.
And that's been the story of probably the last five games. And you know, it may be that you're not winning them, but at least if you're in the game and scoring, then you've got something to talk about. But we you know, without those goals, without any idea of where they were going to come from, to then find that you were going to have to put two past Halifax, even at home, was a real worry. So.
Yeah. Of course, we forgot to mention at the top of the show, you know, all Hughes fans, all City fans, get in contact with us. We want to hear your opinions.
I'll do that.
Yeah, go on, Tim.
So
off
do get in touch with us. You can text us on 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490. You can email us, studio@cambridge105.fm is the easiest, or you can go to the web page and there's a contact us on the right hand side. We ask this every week, and Lynchy, well, is Lynchy going to text it?
He'll probably send something either.
Let's see if we can get someone else other than Lynchy as well texting in with your comments on the game, with your thoughts. Just looking at the score now, so Grimsby have just pulled back level, and it's Gateshead 1, Grimsby 1, so that at the moment's heading into extra time. So who do you fancy? Who would you prefer? You know, are we going to make it? Is it going to be the third time unlucky again at Wembley? I mean, that'd be dreadful if it was, but you know, as I said, it's a bit of a lottery. Anyone can win on the day. It's who turns up and you know, makes a game of it, I think, is the thing. So do get in touch with us on the bits I've just read out. So my computer's beeping at me in the background. don't know what that means. So where are we? Yeah, so we'll talk to Steve later on about Cambridge City. But Wednesday, when it was a long journey.
Look, it was.
It was funny actually, because Halifax always seems to me to be a lot closer, but it wasn't. It wasn't that night. It was almost as marathon a journey as up to Gateshead.
Yeah, it was one of those trips really where. You know, you set out quite hopeful, and it was a long journey. And I mean, we made good time up to sort of in and around the Doncaster area. Took a quick break, but as we were coming into Halifax, you sort of kind of realised how busy it was. And the Shay's a nice ground, actually. It's a really nice footballing ground. Of course, they've got that new state on the stands, you know, all done now, and it looks a really nice stand. And then obviously they've got the other seating area was closed, and there was no one in there, which is a bit of a shame, really. And you'd have thought that they probably had a bit more of a crowd, really. It was only just over 3,000, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, we bought 600 of those up there. Yeah. So, I think it was their record. They said it was a record crowd, wasn't it, as well?
So it was... And there was a wide pitch as well, I noticed as well. Halifax are notorious for having quite big pitches, and this one certainly was big, but... Yeah, it was a strange one, and like when you looked at the team, you know, it was Smith in goal, Roberts at right back, Coulson and Miller as normal centre halves, Taylor at left back, and then you had Chadwick out on the right, Hughes and Champion in the middle with Donaldson out on the left, and then Tom Elliott and Sam Smith up front.
Yeah, so two comments. Chadwick out on the right.
Didn't agree with that.
And it was funny because I was looking at the team sheet going, Sam Smith, who's Sam Smith?
Well, it was we'll come to the striker's performance in a while, because they'll certainly take a battering from me, but
Smith been out on loan from day one, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much from this season. He'd been out on loan to Hereford, of course, who'd been struggling down at the bottom of the league. But obviously, I don't know if Richard Money has seen something in his performances in the last few games. I thought he could change something. I mean, he scored a couple of goals, I know, but he'd not really made a massive impression down at Hereford. I think the Hereford fans were quite glad to see him go. And if I'm honest, I think his contract's up at the end of the season. I don't think he'll be offered another one. He didn't do enough for me on Wednesday night. He really didn't. And the chance that, you know, the one chance where he could have written himself in folklore, unfortunately, he put 4 foot over the bar.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you know, he had been away all season, to expect him to come back and slot in a game of that importance. I think the idea, and unfortunately, we didn't get the audio following the game because there was a dispute between BT Sport and BBC, but the less said about that, the better. But one of the things he did say was, because of the way he thought that Halifax were going to put that long ball in, he felt that it was actually a good move to put him in there. And I mean, you know, one game in a season is, you know, you're going to have to go some. I mean, if he'd scored that goal, he'd have been the hero. But, you know, you kind of expect, you know, he's not going to do a lot in the game. And sure enough, you know, that's what we got from him. But to be fair, I don't think, you know, nobody covered themselves in glory. I don't think there wasn't anybody you could pick out. And in fact, we'll come back to it later on. Tom Champion even tweeted out, you know, his apologies to the fans for the level of his performance.
Mm.
Which was possibly a bit unfair on himself, because I don't think he was any worse than the other players. So, but it wasn't a performance that filled you full of confidence for pulling that goal back. And at times we just looked a bit tired.
Yeah, tired's a good word. Defensive as well. I think we were quite defensive. It was quite clear to see that from about the 25 minute mark we'd settle for whatever we could get, and if we could get a draw from the game, you know, we'd be quite pleased with that. And you know, again, it's a double-edged sword in the fact that if we'd have pulled off the 0-0, you'd have turned around and said, okay, we didn't play very well. Halifax weren't that great either, let's be honest, because no, they weren't. I mean, apart from, and again, it was the same with today's game, apart from their right winger, I didn't think they were much of a threat at all. And their right winger is very good, young Smith. But, you know, it was weird because, yeah, and it's like Champion said, Champion had a poor game and he was poor. And, you know, it's more noticeable when somebody like Champion is poor. Hughes, rubbish. Chadwick tried hard, but he's never going to influence a game from the right wing, which you wanted.
No.
Donaldson, he was all right. Elliot, useless. Laurel and Hardy up front, I think me and Lynch, she said, because they were an absolute joke. I've seen more movement from a statue from that first, from our strike force.
But it's interesting. I mean, Elliot had a much better game today.
Mm.
Yeah.
But he's still, you know, I mean, again, he's not played much this season. What do we expect of him? It's probably not much. It's like Cunnington coming on. You know, he could have been a hero. He could have scored the winning goal.
Mm.
But he was never likely to have a massive influence on the game. But you know, so
I think sometimes, you know, I mean, you just looked at Elliot on Wednesday, and he looked unfit. He looked lazy, and he looked disinterested. Now, you know, if a player is that bad, and you know, it's actually a key difference between him getting 90 minutes on Wednesday and the performance that he put in today, because he looked a lot sharper today than what he did on Wednesday. Now, why did he not get 90 minutes in the games beforehand to have him? It doesn't matter if we were going to lose those games, obviously, you know, because we're now in the final. But you know, think about how much better he could have been on Wednesday if he'd had 90 plus minutes at Gateshead or 90 plus minutes at Chester. You know, and you've just pulled a face, Tim. So
I've just got the tweets coming in on the Gateshead Grimsby game. So the Grimsby are now down to 9. They've had another sending off. So as I said, at this rate, they won't be able to take penalties because they won't have another player. Although interesting, there was a comment here. I just lost it about the referee. Apparently, neither of the Reds deserve to be Reds. So the referee looks like he's been a bit card happy potentially. But yeah, they're down to 9, but still 1-1. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. No, it's important news. But yeah, no, it was just one of those games, Halifax, as I say, and you know, we've made a mistake. Coulson made the mistake. Silly challenge, I've got to say. You make the ref make a decision when it's in the box.
Yeah.
We had Miller got one for him in the first half for doing exactly the same thing. But when it's in the box and you go over, you had no need to reach over the striker, Josh Coulson. If it had just stood him up, back to goal, he's not going to do a lot with back to goal. But you climb all over him, you know, you are, even if he's backing into you, you're asking the referee to make a decision.
And that's the thing, if you look at the replay, you know, he is definitely backing into him, but then that's what strikers do, knowing full well that they're going to get, you know, there's a good chance they'll get it. And he did seem to be going down actually before Coulson got him as well, which was a pity. But yeah, you know, you make a challenge like that, you're always at danger of giving it away. And I know that, you know, he came into the club the following day and was absolutely devastated at, you know, what he'd done. I think, you know, he knew what he'd done. So and unfortunately, you know, he also put one over the bar. He had a chance to redeem himself at the end and put it over the bar. You know, probably not quite as easy as the Sam Smith chance, but still one that on a different day, you know, he should have buried it and didn't. But he got one today, but they ruled it offside.
Well, it was a bit, I can't tell. I didn't see enough from it because I was too busy celebrating. So I can't tell if he was offside, but I think he yeah, that one Wednesday, you know, the bit annoyed me more is he knew it weren't a corner when he blazed it over, and he claimed a corner, yeah. Didn't he? And I think, yeah, Smith was probably the more clear cut, but you know, with Coulson, you either get that block. Do you know what I mean? For it to go out for a corner, or you at least work the goalkeeper, and he really didn't do neither. which is a shame. But no, it was terrible to come away from. In all honesty,
it was a long, long journey.
It was a very long journey home. Fortunately, we got home quite quick, thank God. And as I say, poor old Grandad Dave, he had to put up with a lot of unhappy Hughes fans. But and then you know what a difference what 3-4. Days makes,
and we said this during the game.
Yeah, you said this to me before. How do you change from such a poor performance to such a
You've essentially got the same people playing, and yet we seem to have, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde personality we have, and you're never quite sure what you're going to get out of the team. And I know that, you know, Rich has made it clear that he's been picking the teams he can pick based on injuries and everything else, and he's not going to tell people who's injured, and you know, and that's fair enough. That's his right to do that, and people will always second guess him and will ask why. You know, I mean, Tate and Pugh, they weren't injured today, but they didn't even make it onto the bench. Had it gone wrong, then that I'm sure would have been an area for debate after it. As it happens, it's gone right. You know, it's gone right, and you know, people will always do that second guessing, but. Why do we turn up one week and look like we want the game? And I think that's the difference. I think sometimes, you know, when we've played badly, it is often because we don't seem to have that same intensity. We don't seem to want to chase the ball down in the same way. And when we get stuck in, we're a way better team. And you wonder why it is that, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And as you say, if you look at the team today, the back fourth was the same from Wednesday. Changes in midfield. Donaldson came out onto the right wing. Berry came into the middle of the park with Champion, and Dunk came in on the left hand side. And Samuel
playing the blinder.
Yeah, Dunk played well today, and then you had Sam York and Elliot up front. And it's one of those things where It was a war of attrition. It was a lot of long ball football today. Yeah. In when the ball was down on the ground and we played a bit of football, then yes, we looked very good. But a lot of it was long ball stuff, I'll freely admit. And you know, you look at the goals, and the first one was a bit of a sort of it was a good finish actually by Sam York. I think it was a set piece, wasn't it, or a corner, and the ball just fell to him, and he tucked it away. And set pieces are one of our strong points, it has to be said. And and the second one, basically, it was a through ball, and Sam York, he was far too strong for the centre half, and you know, he's got clean through one on one with the goalkeeper and shown composure that I haven't seen from him for quite a while, I have to say, because he panics.
It takes us back to the start of the season when he was making such an impression, and then you know, he kind of went off the boil, got dropped, and you know, the rest's history. But I think, I mean, scoring that early goal was vital to settle the nerves, and it was one of those things. I'd been nervous up to the kickoff. I'd been nervous. Once the game started, once we got the early goal, the nerves kind of went away, and I kind of felt that we were going to win it. You know, and then to get that second goal, if we'd got the third goal, that, you know, that would have obviously done and dusted then. But the last sort of 5 minutes of normal time, and then 6 minutes. I'm not quite sure where he got 6 minutes from, but six minutes of extra time in the second half. It was a bit that, you know, as Tom puts it, that squeaky bum time.
Yeah,
there,
but, it was, and it was a war, you know. And I said it to Grandad Dave at the end of the game. It was a war of attrition today, and it was just the case of which team came out the strongest, created the more clear-cut chances, that was always going to win the game. And you know, and I've stood there and I've sat there and everything after the game and during the game. And I cannot think of a single clear-cut chance that Halifax have made where they've actually had to work the goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the key thing. And it was exactly the same on Wednesday where, you know, Smith really didn't have a save to make where you thought, oh, that's a really good save. He's done well there. And it's the same today. It was a lot of balls into the box from Halifax, as you expect them to play.
Yeah.
And if anything, it was dealt with comfortably. It was either put out for a corner or for a throw, or Smith came out and he called it all. You know, he's not even at the tip half of them, either the bar, in fact.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you watched a couple into the top, into the top of the net from the outside. But I mean, the interesting thing was Miller had done a good job against Gregory in the first leg, and did it probably an even better job in the second leg. And Gregory really, you know, given he's the second highest scorer in the league and is supposed to be worth, you know, $250,000, and they're going to get rid of him, you know, over the summer, was a spent force really in the game, and it was interesting that they started to cut him out a lot at times by playing over the top. All credit to the defence for, you know, for putting on a performance like that. And Smith in goal. Has really started to inspire confidence here. I mean, unfortunately, he had that disaster at the Gateshead game, almost his first touch of the game, which is never going to be good. It was the same as Sullivan. Sullivan made a mistake on his, you know, in the first few minutes of his first game, and I think a lot of people putting hands on their heads, going, "Oh, you know, another one of that." And he's started to inspire real confidence. He's obviously a class goalkeeper, and there were a couple of saves in the Halifax game. The one that he tipped over the bar, and he's, you know, you've now got the confidence, same as we used to have when, you know, and I don't mean this as a slight to Will Norris, because, you know, Will's a young keeper, but, you know, everyone was confident that when Maxwell came for the ball, Maxwell was going to get the ball, and he came at the right time, and he let everyone know he was going to do it. And we've had that, you know, Will's great at coming out for the crosses. There's been a bit of confusion sometimes about who's going to come out for it, you know, to have a keeper then that's starting to inspire confidence, albeit, you know, very late in the season. But, you know, it'll be interesting. I presume he'll play at Wembley, because even if Will Norris was the preferred keeper, I think he's still going to be, you know, he had a contrary to whatever was said, it wasn't a foot injury at all. It was a thigh injury, a torn thigh, and he was going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So I don't think he's not going to be back, even if that happens. But selection's going to be interesting, because, you know, we've got 2 weeks to get everyone back. There's the Arsenal under-21 game on Friday, which we'll be talking about later. So, you know, some of them have got a 90 minute, you know, some of them are going to get a run out for 90 minutes to get them a bit more match time. You know, it'll be interesting to see who he picks for that game. I was puzzled at the outset that Tate and Pugh didn't even make it onto the bench. You know, Pugh's the only one that scored for us in recent weeks. And I wonder why that was the case.
Well, we can only speculate. I would say his size probably plays more a factor into it. He's technically the most gifted and natural striker that we've got in that football club. If he wasn't to be on the bench at Wembley, I'd be really annoyed. And
I mean, it's interesting, actually, when now you put it that way, that was another thing that Richard actually said in the post-match interview, and he wasn't specifically mentioning any names, but he did say there's no point in bringing a whole load of technically gifted players when they're going to play the ball over the top and we need size. So presumably that was the thought back then, and that was a carryover from the thought here. But yeah, I would expect him to be on the bench at Wembley, I would have thought.
Well, he is a game changer. Yeah. He is a game changer, and in all honesty, he's a game starter. And if that is something that we need at Wembley, depending on who we do play.
At the moment we're playing Gateshead, because Gateshead have actually scored in the... they're in the 90 minutes now. So guess that's going to be the... Marwood got a second on 84 minutes. So it's looking suspiciously like it's going to be Gateshead at Wembley.
Looking at their back four, I think a little and large combination. I know they've got a big cart horse, Clark, playing at centre half, Gateshead. So a little large combination could do quite well.
That's there. Interesting. They got 8,144 people at that game.
Yeah, there's a lot of Newcastle fans needing a bit of glory, let's be honest. I mean, look how well they're doing.
They're getting in nowhere else.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they've got a trip to go at Wembley, you know. Tyneside will probably empty for the Wembley game, you know, but... Fair play to Gateshead. Yeah. You know, they've come out of nowhere. I didn't fancy them for a playoffs this year, and for, you know, they don't have the biggest crowd in the world, because obviously they've got Newcastle and they've got Sunderland not too far, and Middlesbrough and all them in that area. You know, fair play to them if they're beating Grimsby. Unfortunately, let's hope that they don't beat us, because that's the way football goes. And
you know, we were worried that we'd end up playing them in the playoffs, because you know they looked like they were going to finish fifth, and then you know with a victory over us and other results going their way, they managed to finish third. You know, and I think, you know, I don't think they were expecting to finish third. No. I think they were pushing to see if they could get that place, but they were only in the end 2 points behind, now 3 points behind us. But yeah, that was another record attendance for them, wasn't it? That was when we went up, and again we took about 500-600 people up there, and they had a large in. It's an interesting ground. I mean, obviously it'll be a Wembley this time, so that's irrelevant, but because it's an athletic stadium, it's a nice looking stadium, but it's dreadful for football because you're about 3 miles from the pitch.
It's surrounded by the track. It's got like all the athletic stuff. So the pitch is about,
and you kind of think they're never
going to, you know, far away from the stands.
They've got to find somewhere else to play football if they're going to play, you know, if they're going to play league football.
I think they're getting a new stadium at some point anyway. So
let's listen to what Richard had to say following the game today.
Yeah, it was exactly what we needed. Great support. Home turnstiles closed, fully packed. And getting the early goal got everybody rocking. And we were able to get a second before half time, and I think before the game, we thought that the first goal would be important, but after the game, after we scored the second goal, the next goal was important from then on. So we didn't get it, but thankfully we were able to see it through.
Had chances to wrap it up as the game opened out with Halifax chasing it, as you'd expect, but in the end, two was enough, thank you.
Yeah, it's always tense when it's like that.
Yeah.
And fair play to them, you know, they test you, you know, long throws in your box, balls in your box, but we, you know, we got people back in the right places and we headed everything, and I don't think the keepers really had anything significant to save, but you know, there was a lot of moments of danger that we've been able to clear, and it was tight, it was tense, but we've been able to get through.
Semi-finals, it's sometimes all about the result, but there was a performance and a way that United played to go with that.
Well, I think we showed our intent in the first 15 minutes. We wanted to play a little bit higher up the pitch. We wanted to put Halifax's back four under a bit of pressure, and we were able to do that. And thankfully, Delano's come and scored the two goals that we needed. But it wasn't easy, make no mistake about that.
And the players at the end had absolutely run themselves into the ground as well.
Yeah, look, I think people need to understand that to get that team on the pitch today, we've had to do what we've done over the last four or five games. And we knew that three or four of them were probably undercooked a little bit, but we just couldn't risk them in the games before. There's no way that Berry could have played at Halifax and gone and played again today. Same with Dunk. We didn't know that Delano would be fit until Thursday, Friday, and again hasn't played for 2 weeks. So, champion injections in his toe before the game, half time. So we had a few out there that were, if you like, brave in putting their hands up to play, and maybe just tired a little bit at some stage in the second half, but that's only been expected. Adam Cunnington the same, hasn't trained, you know, just hasn't trained. But we've now got 2 weeks to get them fitter and stronger and ready for the final at Wembley.
I know you'll think of this as another stage towards the ultimate goal, but you must take an awful lot of satisfaction from today's result and performance.
Yeah, we needed it. We knew going into the game that our form hasn't been good. Results certainly haven't been good. You can't believe a team that's been second all year can lose five in a row, but we had. But as I've already said, I think there are circumstances that need to be understood there, because maybe not totally, but it was almost a team that we always wanted out there.
Yeah.
So it served its purpose. And I am proud, obviously. But as I said to BT before the game, the victors today, whoever they were, haven't won. You know, just took another step on the journey.
Thanks, Richard.
Do you think, in a way, if it had been 0-0, do you think Halifax, would, the way that they approached the game, would have been any different? In a way, you came into this game knowing it was you had to win the game, whereas for them, it was there was a bit in the mind thinking you could defend, or...
I don't think so. I don't think at all. I think what people have to realise is that very often it's the opposition that either let you play or don't. And if you look at Halifax's home record and the goals they've scored at home, they've literally beat teams up there, you know, with good football, forceful play. And we knew that we needed to go there and stand up and at least give ourselves a chance today. You know, I'm sure that both Paul and Gary would have had a little sigh of relief that neither of them had to go to Halifax on Wednesday, because it was always the toughest tie, I think, in this semi-final. But we went there, we did enough, and we've come back today and seen the job through. So, you know, I think however Halifax played, as with us on Thursday, you're pushed that way by the opponents very often.
I guess obviously you can pick up injuries in training, you hope not to, but I guess you do think in 2 weeks today you're going to be in as strong a position as you could be? Or?
Well, look, I think today we've virtually had nearly, I would say, everybody fit, everybody available for selection. Not 100% fit by any means, certainly lacking match fitness and match sharpness. But the 2 weeks that we've got now will give us a chance to get the right work into them, rest at the right time. You know, we can't push and push and push for 2 weeks. We have to get the mix right between rest, recuperation and work. There's a game on Friday which will give, you know, a number of people an opportunity to get 90 minutes under their belt. And we have to hope that we don't pick up injuries in training, because when we train, we need to be. It needs to be intense, and they need to work.
Is 2 weeks in a way too long, or is it actually quite nice?
It's I don't think it is too long. Yeah. No, I don't.
You were pushing the crowd to rally them to get behind the team. Was it everything you expected?
Yeah, they were fantastic, terrific, right from the start. You know, and I think it works both ways. They need the team to give them the impetus, and the team needs them to give them the impetus. And I thought we both got it absolutely right today. Community Radio in your city. Cambridge 105.
You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
And I'm really pleased myself with there, because I actually asked a question at the Richard Money post-match interview.
You're lucky. Your name's down on the list.
Yeah.
And upset him
next season, whichever league we're in, or you're out.
So just to catch you up on the latest, so Gateshead have won, and they actually won 3-1 in the end. They scored a 90-minute O'Donnell. So Marwood 22 and 84, O'Donnell at 90. And they won 4-2 on aggregate. So it's Cambridge United playing Gateshead on
18th of May.
Sunday, May the 18th.
4 p.m. kickoff.
We'll come back to the details on tickets and everything shortly, because we spoke to Dave Doggett after the game, because it's a little different from those who were buying tickets for the FA Trophy.
Yeah.
So we had a chat with Tom Champion after the game as well. So let's see what Tom had to say. So a fantastic game, a fantastic atmosphere, and a fantastic outcome.
Yeah, it is. It was. It's all. It often happens in the big games. It all goes into a bit of a adrenaline sort of blur. But it was unbelievable atmosphere, unbelievable. And I've never played in a bigger game than that in my life. And just so pleased to get through and do the job, and one more step to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very easy for everyone to get carried away that we've done something, but we've got to the playoff finals. There's still, as you say, one more step to go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really means, you know, it means nothing unless you complete the job. We're very aware that this was, you know, it was obviously essential to get through today and in style and go into, you know, the last game of our season with confidence and, you know, what better game game to look forward to. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing occasion and all the fans are going to turn out for it. We've already had the experience of Wembley and it was a day that none of us will ever forget, and I'm sure it will be that times about 1,000 with the promotion final, so we're all really excited.
And it's interesting, you mentioned that we've already been there once and won. Does that count for anything in terms of the experience and settling the nerves?
I think it counts for something, yeah. I won't go as far as saying it's a huge advantage or anything like that, but I think it definitely counts for something, the fact that we've been there, we know the environment, having only been there a couple of months back, you know, playing in that big of an occasion on that sort of stage, I'm sure it's going to help us out psychologically, maybe. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, whose day is it and who turns up and really puts in a performance and that can match the occasion.
And I guess it wasn't just the fact that we got the result, it was the manner of the performance as well, so much more confident a much better performance that we've put out in recent weeks.
Yeah, and we needed it to be, because Halifax just are relentless. They keep asking questions of you, and if you stop for 1 minute, they'll punish you. And we knew that, so we had to be at it for the whole game, and we had to be at theirs to keep it to 1-0 in the end. As I say, they are relentless and they've had an unbelievable year themselves, so it was just really, really important that we got the win and we've done it.
And you took the unusual step of tweeting your apologies to the fans after the Halifax game. Why was that?
I was personally just I was devastated with my own performance, firstly, and as I like to think of myself as the natural leader of the team, but when your performance levels don't get anywhere near what you want them to be, it's very hard to spread that to the rest of the team and carry it through. So I just felt personally I'd let a few of the boys down, and we knew that we needed a big performance from absolutely everybody today to get the job done, and I'm just so thankful that it's good news and we're through.
And I understand you were playing through the pain. You had an injection in a toe at the start and at half time. How's that going?
Yeah, it's worn off now, so it's absolutely killing me now. But yeah, it's a strange. It's never happened to me before. You know, hobbling up to the stadium, thinking that you're going to play in a game as big as this, and I could, you know, it was hurting to walk on. But the physio assured me that, you know, with an injection it'd be fine. It was. I didn't really feel it. I'm sure the adrenaline probably helped me get through. But yeah, as I say, it's fine.
And a particular favourite for a meeting at Wembley, Grimsby or Gateshead?
No favourite. No, can't have one. I know it's a cliche, but you can't have a favourite. Either game is going to be a test, but I'm sure, you know, either team that we get, we've got to be confident as well. You know, there's absolutely no reason why we can't go there and complete the job.
That's great. Thanks very much and good luck. So whether he's got a favourite or not, we know what he's getting now. He's going to get Gateshead. Thoughts on that?
I'd rather have Grimsby, to be honest, because with Gateshead, we've just played them and they beat us. So although it would be kind of better because we have the run-in on them, we've played them recently and we know how they play and we can build our tactics around that. As they did beat us, I think it will be harder to get the win.
Now, because I think if we play like we played when they beat us, then we're not going to beat anybody. So I think we've got to be the team that played today or better, and I think that's going to be the interesting thing. Grimsby, we were saying just before the start, you know, we've played them four times already. We've beaten them, I think, three times, and did we draw the fourth one? I can't remember what we did.
Well, they beat us at home.
That's right.
Yeah, and you kind of think that was great, but because we did it with the scourge of Grimsby, Ryan Bird, in the FA Trophy. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure. You know, you can't really tell a lot from what's gone on. But
the playoff final is a 90-minute game,
yeah.
And it's down to whichever team copes with the occasion, the expectation, and plays the better football on the day. Form goes out of it now, and it really does go out of it, because it's completely on a neutral venue, neutral stadium. And, you know, if you perform to the best of your capabilities over those 90 minutes, you win the game of football.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that they beat us at the last game of the season. That's irrelevant, because it was at their place. Obviously, the bookies will make us favourites because we finished second and they finished third. Is it going to be a tough game? Yes.
I think either of them would be. There's not going to be an easy game.
And I watched the first 35 minutes, and Gateshead were well into their passionate side. They're a driven side. They're a quick side as well. They counter-attack very quickly. They're in your face. They don't let you settle for a minute. And, you know, we really are going to have to be at our very best. But the one good thing about this team this time is not only have we got options within the squad, I think they're of a better class than a lot of the other two playoff teams, if I'm honest with you. And they're a lot more organised, they're a lot more together, and a lot more collected as well. You know, they don't make, and you know, you can go back, you know, in the Exeter game, it was just treated as like a jolly boys outing. You know, well done, we've made the playoffs, so we probably won't do anything this year, but we'll have a go again next year. Everybody just enjoy the occasion. Torquay game, we never turned up because we weren't good enough, and the team wasn't good enough, and we got deservedly beat that day. Yeah. But this time it's a little bit more different. There's something special about this football team. It showed today.
And yeah, in fact, Dave refers to that in the interview in a second.
Of course,
so good link in.
Yeah, see, and but it's down to what they do on the 18th.
It is. I think, I mean, we've talked about the lottery of the playoffs over and over again, and, you know, Rich has made his feelings, you know, completely clear about second should go up and we should be the third place is fighting for a, you know, third to sixth is fighting for a playoff place. But, you know, it is what it is, and you know, as you say, it's who makes the better of it. And I do think, you know, Tom played it down a little bit, but I think having been there recently and having won a trophy on, got used to the pitch, got used to the big match atmosphere, I think that will be a, you know, it'll be an advantage. It may not be a massive one, but it'll be an advantage because we should, at least in theory, settle quicker than them.
Yeah, to some it will be, because obviously they played there, but then you look at Elliot didn't play. Sam York didn't play, Cunnington didn't play, Roberts didn't play, Smith didn't play.
That's my advantage, guys.
So a lot of them didn't actually play in that game, but they're big enough players, there's enough around for them.
Okay, well, let's we caught up with Chairman Dave Doggett after the game as well. Let's see what he had to say.
So I'm here with Dave. I mean, what can you say? An excellent game, an excellent turnout from the fans, a sellout, wasn't it?
It was on the home, yeah. We thought there was going to be more Halifax, but we got everybody in, which was the main thing. It was just fantastic, wasn't it? Everybody seemed to get behind the team. The sun shone, and the team played fantastically, didn't they?
They did, and we were saying afterwards, it's not even so much the result, which is obviously fantastic, but it was the way in which we won and the confidence that will inspire everyone for Wembley.
Yeah, no, I think... it's funny, after the Halifax game, there was a few negatives, but I just said to people, keep the faith. and you can see what it meant to the players, you can see what it meant to the fans. And there's special days in a football club, and this was one of them.
Yeah, and you say special for the players and the fans, and special for Richard in the post-match interview afterwards. He was full of it. It was fantastic to see. So another big day out to Wembley. Do you think that the experience of going there before will give the players an edge over whoever we end up playing?
I think the thing is that what Richard brings and the players, this squad of players bring, is a professionalism that I've not seen before in all the 50 years I've been following this club. Very few of them, none of them drink. They actually train, they listen. They're all part of an incredible regime with Matt Walker on the fitness side. You can see it before the matches, you can see it after the matches. And for some of the fans who sort of, well, we haven't scored and all that sort of nonsense, trust in what's going on.
Yeah, and I think, as you know, I said to Richard after the game, is, you know, do you ever want to just turn around and go, see, told you so?
Yeah. I think it's the beauty of football. It's a passionate game, and we all get caught up in it. And but that's why we're here. And for the youngsters today, they'll remember that in 50 years' time, your son will say in 50 years' time, I was there on that day.
Yeah.
And if in a fortnight's time we do manage to win and get back into the league... I still remember when we went in the league in the 70s, and that was special.
And you make a good point that it's very easy to get carried away of, you know, what happened here today, but there is still another step to go.
Yeah, but they're all refocused. Yeah, players are off. Yeah, they'll be in, you know, do the training regime. 2 weeks is a long time, but any niggles of injuries should be clear, so it should be a really strong squad. The club will be prepared, the players will be prepared, and the fans need to come out, and let's take 20,000 to Wembley get behind them and make that dream come true.
And talking about Wembley, you were saying that the club won't be selling tickets this time. They're all direct from Wembley.
Yeah, there's a ticket agency. We, unfortunately, as a club, we have no say in it. But they have promised me that if there's groups of 20, 30, 40, they will put you in blocks of 10s or whatever. So they will look after you. But as a club, we had no say in that.
And as far as transport down there, presumably we'll be arranging coaches and people should look out on the website for that.
That will be the priority, is to get everybody there. And I think last time a lot of people realised how great it was. Just get on a coach, drop off there and you're in, watch the match and enjoy.
Okay, thanks very much then, Dave. Cheers.
All right, mate.
So there we go, that's what we had to say. So tickets available presumably on Monday, I would guess. They start actually Tuesday because Monday's a bank holiday, probably Tuesday. And I guess last word's got to go to Lynchy then. It's Lynchy's texting and says, YI, let's get smashed. Not that we encourage irresponsible drinking. And then smash Gateshead's back doors in. I told you all have faith in Big Dicky Dosh. There you go, Lynchy.
Yeah, he did. Well, he's improved right, hasn't he? And I think we'll all be celebrating tonight.
Yep, we will indeed. Once the show's over and I can actually drive back home. Okay, I'm just going to give this. I've never done this one before. We've got a new telephone system in the studio, and hopefully I can hear in a second if Steve manages to make it onto the phone. So just talk amongst yourselves while he answers it.
Let's go to your stats quickly. We'll have a quick stat. Give us a stat.
Stat corner.
I like the assists one.
Yeah, the assist. That's
Hang on a second. I will come back to that in a second. Hi, Steve. How are you doing? Can you hear us, Steve?
Nope.
That's a problem. Hang on, Steve. Can you hear me? Oh, hang on. Now, if I fade him up. Yeah, now, Steve, sorry. I'm sitting there wondering why you can't hear me, and that's because I haven't faded you up as yet.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. So, we've obviously dwelt on the success of Cambridge United. But unfortunately, not such good news for Cambridge City.
No. The playoff curse continues, really. As I said last week, we were all excited on the home draw and didn't really make the most of it, unfortunately. We lost to St Albans 4-2 was the score, for those who didn't realise. It was a bit of a shame because we just didn't defend in any way like we have done all season, and we succumbed to some really soft goals. I mean, St Albans, you know, were up for it, played really well. I think we played quite well in part going forward, and I think we weren't unmatched, but just defensive errors on the day, really. And we left ourselves a mountain to do by going behind 2-0 on about half an hour. And both goals were defendable from our point of view. So we're always uphill task. But we got a goal right on half-time, an absolute peach from Danny Kelly. And that made it 2-1. And going into the second half, he thought, well, the momentum's with us now. You know, they're going to be nervous coming out because we just scored at the wrong time for them. And we didn't come out. They got a goal straight after half-time to make it 3-1. And two of their first three goals were from long throws. And you really don't expect to not be able to defend physically like that, and I think they had a big side. They'd obviously done the homework, but we just didn't switch on at the right times, and they really were poor goals. And that's not just saying that in the big occasion. They were just stuff we've not defended like that all season. So typically on the big stage we just didn't defend, but going forward we looked good. And the second half, I thought, well, after we went 3-1 down, we then got it back to 3-2, and we were high on the pressure. We really put some good chances. Their goalkeeper made two or three saves. It was, they were really hanging on at 3-2, and then of course they get on the break 5 minutes to go, and the scuffed shot, it was kind of 3-on-3, and you expect that, really. We threw everything forward and there's nothing wrong with that, and then it made it 4-2, and it was game over. So real shame again. I think the effort was there. You know, going forward we played well, because in past playoff games we hadn't scored many goals. We'd been a bit sort of lightweight up front. That wasn't the case today, but just really bemoaned the defending, and Gary said the same afterwards in the paper, and everyone was a bit deflated. But I mean, it's one of those things. I think you know, we did. It was an achievement to get in the playoffs with that team. We did play well, and we had a good season. But I think moving forward, if we can attack that league, we've got to, rather than just get in the playoffs, I think the mentality should be to actually win them, because I think it always feels like the achievement is done to get in the playoffs, but you get the same result as if you come anywhere else in the league.
Yeah.
Up. So I think it's a bit of a mentality thing. But you know, Gary was downhearted, but I think he's already looking to rebuild next year, and he's looking at possible targets and also who's going to sign on. So, you know, looking at, I think that will be revealed in the coming weeks. And obviously the key players that he wants to hang on to, you know, if we can keep those, we can build around the core of the group and push on again next year.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting because, of course, you'll be in Histon will be in the same league as you next year. So, as you say, we've got a local derby.
I think so. So we're going to be there'll be a derby game, which will be good. Yeah, and want to get a bit of local interest there for sure. But there'll be some good teams, you know, the usual suspects again up there next year, and it is a tough league to get out of. But I think we did overachieve in some respects with getting third. But you know, once you're there, the kind of the expectations almost raised a bit, and getting that home draw this time. You know, a lot of fans thought that this could be our turn, but it wasn't to be. I think we only need one or two more additions. I mean, Gary said it highlighted our defensive frailties. I think our record is good, but I mean, the goals that we conceded did indicate that we need a dominant centre half. You know, alongside Chaffee, and Lawton's been brilliant, actually, to be fair to him. But you know, it wasn't any pinpoint blame, but you just think we need some dominant forces at the back that would eliminate those kind of goals. But other than that, you know, the core group was very good. We got third in the good league, and I think the nucleus is there. So it just depends on who stays and if Gary can retain that loyalty that he's had in previous years, you know, where a lot of players that play for him, you know, want to stay because of what we're trying to do. So if that can happen again, I think with one or two more, we could start a good season next year. But it was very disappointing, and obviously we wish we'd be in the same position as you guys. The final of this league run is tomorrow, so St Albans will go to Chesham, and they're two good sides, and obviously hopefully we'll take one of them out of the equation, which actually wouldn't be a bad thing for us. But you know, we want to be in those situations where we can turn stuff around like you did today, and I think we've got to learn from this and just make the mentality of one of, look, not just getting to us, because it is a good achievement, but really now once we're there, go on and win it. You know, go and have that one step further, because we're not far off. Every year we're not far off, and Gary has got a good side, and we've just got to believe in ourselves for next year, I think.
Yeah, Steve, what was your attendance like on Wednesday, mate?
Could you, Steve? I've heard that. Matt was asking what was the attendance like?
768, which, funny enough, was exactly the same as what Chesham had for their playoff game against Stourbridge the night before, which is a bit spooky. It was good. I think that's sort of what they're expecting, but St Albans did bring probably close to 300. So actually, City fans, there was probably only 400 to 450, which wasn't. Well, it was okay, but you know, I thought we'd get a bit more.
Yeah.
St Albans did bring a lot, it was nearly half and half, really. So I think from that perspective, not bad. But I don't know how much if you broke it down, you know, with Cambridge public. But you know, it was good to see a big crowd. It had a good atmosphere. It was a good atmosphere, and actually it was. Both sets of fans were very good. You know, they both got behind the team. Even when we were behind, we got behind them, and that was good. And it was one of the better ones, certainly from that extent. Even through all the way through, even though when the game was sort of almost up, we were still trying, which is good. And it did feel much more positive. Obviously, there was deflation at the end, but that was that's the sort of thing we should be getting every week. You know, the bigger crowd. I mean, it's very, very difficult. I don't know what more we can do. We're getting in good positions in the league, playing some good stuff throughout the season. And people aren't always coming, but you know, it was nice to see a big crowd. It was nice to have an atmosphere, and it was a good occasion. So we would hope to get more of those next year. Obviously, there's a derby as well next with Histon. That should be one of them.
Yeah.
And there'll be some good sides still. You know, still got some needs and stuff. And so I think there'll be, you know, hopefully more of the same like that next year.
Okay, well, commiserations, and as you say, it's time to rebuild and move forward. Excellent. Thanks very much indeed, then, Steve. Cheers.
Thanks very much, Tim. Good luck in the final. Community Radio in your city.
Okay, so it's another 1,000 miles, but Jez George has embarked on Mission 676, a 676-mile walk taken in all 18 English Premier League grounds, arriving in Norwich on May 23rd. Cambridge 105 will be following Jez's epic journey as he attempts to raise £200,000 for Cambridge United Youth and Community Trust to support their work in our local community. Join Cambridge 105 for daily updates and features. For more info or to donate, see the Cambridge 105 homepage.
So, Jez, we're 7 days in. You've done three grounds. You're approaching 150 miles. How's it going so far?
I've done 192 miles.
192? I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right. No, I've done 7 days of 26 miles and 10 this morning, or almost 10 this morning. I'm okay. First 4 or 5 days was real tough. And I think the legs get used to it a little bit, the muscles, and the team of people with me has been brilliant. Physios have looked after me superbly, and I've been real strict with myself and disciplined in all the recoveries and everything. So, yeah, I'm okay. Just there's a long way to go yet, but halfway through yesterday was a quarter of the way done. So, nice little milestone.
And you've broken off for the away game at Halifax and this one. How difficult it is to break away from the walk and then go back to it?
Well, the Wednesday was tough because I walked 26 miles on Wednesday and I was absolutely shattered. I was trying to pick the right word for a radio. Shattered to go there on Wednesday night, but today's all right, but it's going to be tough later, I think, because I'm going to have to pick up again late tonight. But obviously I was never going to miss this for anything, so I feel in probably better state now than I did on Wednesday, but I know that, you know, there's still almost three quarters to go, so I've just got to keep going and, you know, mentally chunk everything down to little smaller pieces. I even do that every day, you know, like it's much easier to get your head around doing 10 miles, then 8 miles, then 8 miles, then trying to think of 26. So, yeah, I'm doing all right, and it's always encouraging when, you know, you get calls and you see that people are donating money and that, you know, the total's going up. That's the most encouraging thing.
And then you're arriving in Manchester tomorrow to City and United's grounds?
Yeah, City and United tomorrow, and then Everton and Liverpool on Tuesday. So they're good days. They're harder because there's disruptions, you know, in terms of waiting around and stop and starting and everything else. But obviously it's all about publicity, because the more people find out about it, hopefully the more people donate money, and you know, the bigger the total and the more work we can do. So that's the most crucial thing, really.
That's great. Thanks very much, Jez.
Pleasure.
So Cambridge 105 following Mission 676, we get a daily update on the Drive Time show with Julian Clover at 4:30, and then Merlin on the Breakfast Show repeats the daily update the following morning. If you want to know more about it, you can go to the Cambridge105.fm homepage. There's a banner ad at the top that'll keep you up to date with progress of where we're at, although I have to catch up with that. I have fallen a bit behind in it. But if you want to give to that, and I know Jez was pointing this out at the game today, if you want to give to that, you can go to the justgiving.com page and search for either Cambridge United, or the actual page is /CUYCT, which is the Cambridge United Youth and Community Trust, which is who the fundraising effort is to go towards. Or alternatively, you can donate via text. You can text CUFC26, and then I think you can actually only text £5 or £10. I don't think you can choose any other than that from what I understood today. So CUFC26 followed by the £5 or the £10, and text that to 70070. That's 70070. Trying to raise £200,000 to help the work of the Youth and Community Trust, which is a fantastic effort from Jez. I mean, I've been following the video closely, and at times he's looked dreadful. I mean, but he's broken off today, and obviously he'll go home a happy man to carry on walking tonight. But it's a monumental effort, with especially he's had knee surgery to reconstruct a cruciate ligament, and he's got plates and screws in his ankles. So for most people, 26 walking marathons would be a monumental effort, but with that kind of work done on him, it's just amazing. And talking to the bloke, I tweeted this before the ground, it really is an honour and a privilege to actually talk to somebody who, you know, cut him in, he'll bleed amber and black. He is the club, and he's had such a long and positive association with it, and what he's doing with all of the walks he's done in the past is fantastic.
He has done well, and I wish him all the best and all the success, and a Wembley promotion will do him the world of good in 2 weeks' time.
It will. It'll certainly cheer him along. So we're down to the last minute. So we will have at least two or three more shows, because obviously we're going to carry on until the 18th. I'm hoping that we can do a season wrap up on the 25th. We've got to talk to the station about that. But that's the plan at the moment. And we'll also be attending the
Arsenal game.
The Arsenal game. I meant to talk. Yeah, the Arsenal game. Friday.
Friday, this Friday coming up, 7 o'clock at the Abbey Stadium. Tickets £6.76 in advance. You can get those from the website that points you to the Cambridge United Trust site, or it's £10 on the day. And don't see it as an extra charge, £10 on the day. Just see it as a bigger donation. So we'd probably prefer you just to turn up and pay the £10, but you can get it for £6.76 if you want. And of course, Richard, will, as he pointed out, will be using that to give some of the players a run out for before the game. So congratulations to Cambridge United. We're all off to Wembley on Friday, 18th of May. Whether we're going there. Oh, Sunday. I've got my Fridays and my Sunday. Sunday, the 18th of May. And thanks very much. We'll be on to Rocklit in just a second.